Start out with why I am a Gideon and how that came about, and then go into some more about the Gideons. And I hope as I go through it, you'll see that what the Gideons are about and what we're doing, how we're organized, is really nothing special. It's really the things that as Christians we're kind of called to do. It's just that there's some specific context that we do and use what God has given us to provide some tools to access some different places that us as our daily lives would not be able to share God's word with. As Ed alluded to in this morning in Sunday school, there's some different motivations that, as to how we have decided each one to become a Gideon and join in this ministry. So after this, I encourage you to just ask. I don't know for our brother Richard how he came or what Mark's brought him into the ministry, but I would ask him and see what it's about. The thing for me was mainly that this church has had a fairly rich history of having Gideon members in our congregation, and so I was getting the presentations where they were telling the testimonies, and that really kind of engaged me, and to see how God works, how he brings us to him, how his word comes to people, and how that all happens. And so that is what really excited me. And so I am going to start off with a testimony. Mike, you turned off my volume. On the, you still have the soundboard on?
Well, I am really excited to be here tonight because I get a chance to thank an organization that is personally responsible for my salvation. You know, the Gideons placed millions and millions of Bibles. Tonight, I want to share the story of this one Bible and how it changed my life forever. When I was a baby, my parents divorced. And when I was 10 years old, my mother married a Jehovah's Witness. Now, at 10 years old, you really can't decide the religions of the world. I didn't realize it was a cult. I didn't know anything about it. And to be honest with you, I wanted to be a good Jehovah's Witness. We lived in the state of California, and soon we moved to the state of Washington, and we lived on a little island in the Puget Sound called Whidbey Island. It was about an hour from Seattle. And there I'd go door to door, and I'd distribute their watchtowers and awakes. We didn't celebrate birthdays and holidays and Christmas. In fact, to me, Christmas was one of the loneliest days of the year. We didn't salute the flag, but that was still okay because I was trying to do what my parents were directing me to do, and it was the only thing I knew in my life. But the more I tried to serve this cult, this organization, the more loneliness I felt inside and the more despair, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand why, if I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing, why I felt so bad at night, bad all the time. And I remember when I was 15 years old, I just went to bed one night, and I was just crying to God. In fact, I cried, and I just yelled to God. I said, God, I said, if you are up there, is this all there is to life? Is this all there is? And I remember going to bed that night just crying. I was hurting so bad. But, you know, I think God heard my prayer that night because a couple weeks later, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I decided I was going to run away from home. I was 15 years old. I remember I put pillows underneath my blankets, and I snuck out the bedroom window, went to a friend's house and spent the night. And the next morning, I caught a boat ride over to the mainland and caught a ride into the bus terminal or the plane terminal in Seattle and bought a plane ticket to Fort Smith, Arkansas. And people often ask me, well, why Fort Smith, Arkansas? Well, my grandparents lived there, and they were the only people in the world I knew I could turn to. And they didn't even know I was coming. But I just got on that plane. I never will forget getting on that plane. I was scared. I was crying. And I was lost in more ways than one. I got to my grandparents on a Monday or Tuesday. And I never will forget they invited me to church that Wednesday night. And folks, it was just a normal Wednesday night service like we all go to an evangelical church. The pastor met me at the front door of the church. He shook my hand. We had a service. They had a prayer, a couple songs, and they had a message. Nothing out of the ordinary, just a normal, small country church Wednesday night service. But something happened in that service that I couldn't explain. And as we were going home, we lived about 15 miles out in the country, I turned to my grandparents. I said, Nano Gramps, I said, I felt something in that service that I can't explain. I feel like a baby wrapped in its mother's arms. What is that feeling? And I never will forget, my grandmother just looked at me and she smiled and she said, well, son, that is the Holy Spirit ministering to you. Folks, I had no idea what that meant. I didn't even know what that meant. And I just took it in, and I was so taken back by it. Well, that next Sunday morning came along. She came into my bedroom, and she shook me on the shoulder, and she said, well, son, it's time to go to church. And I just kind of looked at her, and I said, well, I don't think I'm going. And, you know, maybe I was scared of another religion. Maybe I was scared to commit. Or maybe I was just so far away from the truth that I couldn't see if it was right in front of my eyes. But you got to know my grandmother. She didn't leave. She just stood by the side of the bed and she put her hand on her hip like this. And she said, well, son, in this house, we go to church on Sunday morning. Are you going? And she said it a little bit more emphatically that time. And I never will forget looking at her. Because I look back at that point in my life and I realize there's the fork in the road of my life. How I answered that question would probably affect me for the rest of my life. And I remember I just kind of paused and hesitated, and finally I said, okay, I'll go. And I started to go. I'd sat in the very back of the services. I didn't really take part. I kept quiet. This went on for like a month or two until one Sunday morning, as I was walking into the foyer of the church, a man greeted me. And all I got was part of his name was Gene. And then he just said, are you a Christian? And guys, my heart started to pump like that. And I just looked at him with this big smile I got on my face right now. I said, no. And he said, well, would you like to be right now? And I thought to myself, who is this guy? And my heart was pumping even harder like this. And I said, well, no, not really, sir. And he said, well, that's okay. He said, I'd like to give you something. And he pulled this Bible out of his pocket. He said, I'd like to give you this. And he shared some scriptures with me. He even shared with me there's a place in the back. If I ever give my heart to Christ, I can sign my name. He says, if I give you this Bible, will you take it home and begin to read it? And I said, yes, sir, I will. And then he left away. He said, I'll be praying for you. I said, okay. And as he left, guys, to be honest with you, I was kind of glad when he left because he scared me. But he also challenged me more so than any other person in my life. It's just he reached into my very body, my very heart, my very soul, and just slit my heart open. And he just placed the Word of God where no one had placed it before. Well, I took this Bible home. I began to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I couldn't believe the story about this guy called Jesus Christ, because I didn't know anything about him. With the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would lead you all over the place. But when I read the scriptures, I realized about the saving power of Christ. And I just couldn't get enough of the Word. And this went on for a couple weeks until one Sunday night. I went to the service. The pastor gave his message. And to be honest with you, I didn't even hear what the message was about. But at the very end, he then said, is there anybody here that would like to receive Christ as their Savior? And it just felt like somebody was tapping me on the shoulder like this. And I tried to hold on to the edge of the podium or the pew that I was sitting on, but it just didn't work. And finally, I let go, and I ran down to the altar, and I knelt at the altar, and the pastor said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And I said, yes, sir, I would. and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. You know, God is so good. God is so good. He took me from a cult on Whidbey Island, took me away from all that junk, pulled me away from that, and placed the Word of God in my heart where no one had placed it before, just to reach out to me. And you know, I often look back at my testimony and I wonder, I said, well, God, who was responsible for my testimony? Was it the Gideon who gave me the Bible? Was it that dear pastor of mine? By the way, I'm still in that same church today, and it's been over 40 years. Or was it my grandmother who put her hand on her hip and said, in this house, we go to church on Sunday night? And I often look back at that, and I realize that the early church used to argue about the two. They used to say, well, I'm saved him, and I'm saved him. But remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He said, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. You see, God is responsible for all of our salvations, but He uses all of us working together to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. I remember when I first started sharing my testimony, I had to write it down. I typed it all up because I didn't want to forget anything. And I began to pray over it. And after I prayed over it the first day, it just didn't seem right. I had a check on my spirit. I prayed the second day, and I still had a check on my spirit. And finally, the third day, God showed me that this really wasn't my testimony. Because God showed me that my testimony, it didn't end back then. It only began back then. And just as God has revealed much of my personal testimony to me in just the last few years in this ministry known as Gideon's, I know He has great things in store for me and all of His people. You know, I'm so excited about the Gideons. And when I go share my testimony, there's usually a reason why I share it. And maybe it's to reach a lost one. Maybe it's to encourage Gideons to be more bold in their witness, like that man called Eugene Harris, who was a Gideon in my own camp. Or maybe it's just to reach out to someone. And tonight, I want to reach out on a personal note to one of the most important people in my life. And it's my son, Eric Dodd. Is Eric here somewhere? Can you stand, Eric? There's Eric right there. Eric, I just want to say something, Eric. Your mom and I love you very much, and I know you're going through some struggles, but just as God has touched my life and taken me through struggles, I know He can take you through those same struggles through. Because see, the God that saved me is still saving me today. And when God used His Bible to touch my life, He not only changed my life, but He changed my family. He changed my wife. He changed our children. And He changed our family for generations to come. Guys, this is a great Bible, an exciting Bible. And this Bible can change lives. I know it changed mine. Thank you very much.
So, those are definitely the things that kind of caught my attention. I like to hear those, the different testimonies that of how people came to Christ that the Gideons were sharing as they came here and presented their work. And so the first several, probably a couple years that I was asked to be a Gideon, I was not ready at a point where I was willing. And so it took a little. Bob Steinbaugh was in the camp working as the Faith Fund chairman. So the Faith Fund rally we're going to have here in two Saturdays from now that Ed is giving you the flyer and invited you to join us. Bob was organizing that, and he asked me a couple years in a row to run the AV for their presenter, and I was like, we'll give you, pay for your dinner and stuff, so I was sitting there, and then, you know, later on he'd ask if I was ready to join the Gideons, and I was like, no, not really, but so a couple years later, all of my family had moved out of New Mexico. I was left here all by myself in 2012, which my sister was the last one that left in 2011 up to Idaho. And so I went to visit her in February of that year. And I was serving as a deacon here at the church and was in my last year. And I was talking to her and I was saying, I'm feeling like I'm supposed to join some sort of ministry, do something after my term as deacon is over. And it was just like, should be, I just feel this, that I'm being led to do something in some ministry, some service. Well, it was like after I'm done at the end of the year, and this is February, so about 2 weeks, 2 weeks after that, Ed came and asked me if I wouldn't join the Gideons. I was like, well, you know, God has a sense of humor. I was like, I was talking next year, but it's like, all right, I got you. So, joined, and I was just looking the other day. I was officially got the paperwork done and became a member in September of that year. And began working with them, but it was a slow process in that too. Just getting involved, changing my habits. Prayer breakfast we have every Saturday morning at 7, and we just fellowship and pray over different things, the concerns, and that's how we start our Saturdays. I was not in the habit of getting up that early, to be honest with you. And Bob kept saying, yeah, you know, you should think about coming. And it is a very good time to spend. I look forward to it. And so now, but take a little change of priorities, a little change of schedule, but it's been a blessing. So the Gideons have this one vision, which it's based on striving side by side for the gospel, the faith of the gospel. And there's three objectives of the Gideons. And for those of you who were at Sunday school, you heard the history of the Gideons. And so the first thing it started out was the association for service there. And joining together, they saw that there was a need and for accountability, for building one another up. And that as business men, professionals, that they had some influence in their communities, and that their, as the previous video said, your testimony isn't just about how you came to faith in Christ, your salvation story. It's about how you live your life. And so it continues on. And so the Gideons felt that they could, these men felt that they could use their positions in their communities to advance the gospel and spread the word and help bring the word of God to others, to bring them to salvation in Christ. And so when Gideons talk about their testimony, it's about not just what you say, of course, and sharing, but it's about how you live, how everyone sees you day to day in your actions. So, and then you heard that within under 10 years, the distribution of Scripture began, and it was a partnership with the churches. And then the third one, which most is the one that kind of happens out of the eye of the public, is the personal testimony and work. So those all are combined into one hopefully seamless vision for sharing the gospel here locally and around the world. So as believers, you know, we're told there's lots of different dissensions. There's early on theological issues. You heard about saying who saved me or whatever, who led me to Christ. But we are told that we are to be as of one spirit, one mind, and have one vision as the church, the body of Christ. So that is the starting point for the Gideons, and it obviously should be the starting point for us in general as Christians and a church. So we strive side by side as Christian business and professional men. We strive side by side with our wives as the auxiliary members and with the churches. And you see it does say Protestant and evangelical churches. Real quickly, so the churches that we deal with have to have basically the same that we can work with, have to have the same foundational principles as our membership, and that is the inerrancy of Scripture, that it's infallible and inspired, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, that we do have salvation through him, that hell is a real and place, that those who do not come to God is their destiny, and that marriage is an institution of God, and that unfortunately we have to change our words a little bit, that it's between one biological man and one biological female. So those are the partnering churches that we can, that we work with, that have that. But the uniqueness of the ministry, so true to the gospel, as you heard, the members are from different denominations. We're non-denominational, and that's what allows us to actually be able to access a lot of these places, to go to them, that we're not representing a church. We're just men, Christian men, that and our wives that are looking to share the Word of God, and we're not preaching to anybody. We're not sermonizing. You know, it's just straight up Word of God. And so that does give us access to these different institutions, to the schools, different places like that. The mission is simple. It's to share the word, get it out, the good news. And then true to who God calls us to be. Ed alluded to that this morning with in our current society, there's different different groups that think we're discriminating or whatever, or simply started as businessmen. You know, God, they had a vision that believed that God called them to be as business and professional men and our wives, and that that's who we were started out to be, and that's who we're going to continue to be. As people that have served in the military, and probably a lot of people that have associated with the work that goes on at the base, the labs, there's a thing called mission creep, and where you start out with your focus, and then different things kind of get you off track, and you become what you're not what you started out to be. And so we see like examples of that, like with what's happened with the Boy Scouts. You know, they've unfortunately gotten away from their initial moral standards and from being for boys, quite frankly. And you see, it's just fallen apart very quickly. So that's why the Gideons are striving to be true to how we started and continue to be just exactly what we started out as, we believe, under God's inspiration. And not that we're discriminating against anybody or have anything else, but just to... So, the Gideons, there's look to strengthen the two institutions of the New Testament, the Christian institutions, which would be marriage and the church. And so we believe that when Christian man is strengthened, it will strengthen his marriage. By strengthening his marriage, it'll strengthen his family. By strengthening his family, it'll strengthen his church. By strengthening the church, it'll strengthen our communities or have impact in our communities. So, and then, again, trying to keep it the same and being thinking of, we're just in a chain of men, and that what we pass on should be the same thing that was given to us. And that's the same with, obviously, the gospel, with the church, the message. It's keep true to it and pass it on to others as you received it. So the Association for Service has different components there. We have the fellowship, encouragement, the mentorship. So being that we are businessmen and professionals, we have leadership roles, we have some organizational things. So the men are encouraged to join in these different things. Public speaking is a part of it, which is definitely not what I ever had in mind for myself, but here I am. And so there's things where it's also professional skills that are built through this, and given an opportunity to exercise like leadership skills, build them, and some other different things along those lines. Discipleship, big thing. Many mature brothers in Christ that part of this ministry take us in and help build us up. And as you heard, of course, accountability is always an important part of any relationship. So we've gone through the distributions, the other part, fifth grade and above. We do go to the vocational technical schools. In other countries, they're often invited right into the classrooms. There are different, especially in Africa and some of these places, they use the Bible as their textbook because they don't have any teaching materials. So they're welcomed in, and the kids readily receive it. Here, because of the government and whatever, we have to stay on the sidewalk outside of the schools, but we're still there and catching kids, the students, the parents as they leave. The university, we can actually be on the, because it's a public institution, we can be inside the campus. But as you heard, medical offices of all types, hospitals, rehab centers, hotels and motels, of course, is where most people have run into a Gideon placed Bible. First responders of all types, the military, jails and prisons. And this is not an extensive list. There are actually quite a few other places that we are allowed to go. And like I said, it's because of our unique structure in that we're non denominational and that we're not actually have any message or agenda. It's simply the Word of God.
My name is Joshua Hamsa. When I was 15, I was kicked out of my parents' home. The court ordered me to live at a homeless shelter in Spokane, Washington. It wasn't without reason. I was a chronic runaway at the time. I just didn't really want to be there. Not long afterwards, I decided to skip curfew, coming back to the shelter, and didn't have a place to stay that night. So I was welcomed into the home of a local pedophile, and he introduced me to his friends. My life didn't get a whole lot better from there. I was a thief, a vandal, a liar, a cheat, a drug addict, a drug dealer, a fraud. There was nothing good in me. Eventually, I was arrested in a raid. I was put in a cell in Los Angeles County, California. And wouldn't you just know the way that God works, my bunkmate led the Bible study. Since I grew up in the church, I took his invitation. I felt like I knew all the things about God that I needed to know, and I was comfortable, and it's not like I was doing anything else at the time anyway. So I joined their Bible study. I don't remember what we talked about, but I know that immediately afterwards, when I went back to my cell, I got absolutely wrecked by the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, I became acutely aware of the fact that everything that I was doing in my life was causing pain to other people, and that my life and my actions were full of poison. And so I told Jesus, if you want my life, it's not worth anything, but you can have it. I knew the next step was to get a Bible, and so I requested for one from the chaplain at the jail, and a Gideon Bible was delivered to myself. I started reading. I got to know Jesus. I studied his word. I poured it into my soul. And I had the opportunity in that prison on my 25th birthday to be baptized. Eventually I got out and my life was completely different. It's been 8 years this week since I got out of prison, and I haven't been put back in handcuffs since. I've been remarried and have a beautiful son. I have a job and a career and an education today. God has completely changed my life. He has restored it. He has renewed it. He's fulfilled his promises more than I could ask or think or imagine. So when Isaiah 55:11 says that God's word won't return void, truly I tell you that this scripture has been fulfilled today in your hearing.
So the third objective there, and this is the one that's not exclusive to Gideon's by any means. It's just that we try to be very intentional about this aspect of our Christian lives. So we had Zeb was sharing the personal workers' testament, and those are available. We're not trying to be exclusive. They are available with the non- without the Gideon logo to all of you. But it's designed so that we can share our faith. It has the helps in the beginning for people that are hurting, different what the word says about different just different struggles people are having in life, and does have a section on Christian character, specific verses about the different characteristics we're supposed to be building in our lives as we follow Christ's example. And then again, in the back, it has verses to give the plan of salvation to someone, lead them to Christ. And again, these are available to Friends of the Gideons, and we do encourage you to use them as well. It's you know, they're tools. The Gideons have been very thoughtful in creating tools to help us to witness, and that is a very, very good resource. Of course, the Gideon Bible app, which contains that, but it also all the same portions. The other benefit, as Ed was saying, was that it has thousands of languages. So when we are encountering people that English isn't their first language, or maybe even a language that they may be able to speak. We can give them a resource where they can get God's word in their own language, and you just see how these people light up because they're here in foreign country, and away from home, away from family a lot of times, and what they are accustomed to. And so it's not only comforting, but they've got the truth there for them as well. We have a program called Conversations where we can come in and do a very, it's a low-key method of sharing your faith, of witnessing. And so we can come and have a class on doing that, and it's very not formulaic. It's not high pressure or anything. It's exactly that conversation, starting out with people. The very first step is listening, to what they have to say, getting to know them. There's Share Jesus Without Fear, and a program that also can be taught. There's a book. And one of my favorites, this book that was developed, A Secret to an Open Door. And it is basically someone who is very good at became very good at witnessing, and basically it's just saying how he approaches it, and a lot of it's just being willing to go out and ready and prepared to witness, and then seeing where the opportunities come about you in the day. It's the God has an unending amount of opportunities if we're just willing to be looking and be ready to see what He has for us. And then, as we were talking about the Gideon cards, those you can rejoice with somebody, grieve with them, but it also is sharing the word. It has words of comfort, whatever the particular occasion is that are in that, and can show them your Christ-like love through sending them a Gideon card, and at the same time you are funding more scriptures to be produced and placed here and around the world. Here's another testimony of how just in the daily life, that didn't fire up. I don't think we're going to be able to click that. Sorry. Anyway, this young couple she is from Cuba, and he is originally from South America. I can't think of the country right off the bat. But they were on their way looking, I think, at getting a new house, and harried, running around the Houston area, and ran into, rear-ended a Gideon. no serious damage, but he took the opportunity to share the gospel with them, to give them Gideon testaments and invite them to church. And it's blossomed from there. And they are, so it's just in the routine of life, if we're ready, prepared, and looking, there are these opportunities that God puts in us that we can we can share him in all different kinds of means. So apologize that that didn't, can't start that video from here. The other thing I wanted to share was the seven spiritual objectives of the Gideons. And again, these are not anything that is particularly special or for the Gideons. It's should be for all of us. And we just had this past year the small group study on spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines. And so we'd say that these are the basically the spiritual disciplines that the Gideons encourage in all of its membership. And so we have men and women of the book, of course, being true to the Bible, and that it is the inerrant, infallible Word of God and inspired. Men and women of faith. Men and women of prayer. So we have, like I said, the prayer breakfast on Saturday mornings. We have prayer calendars to be praying over the different members of the ministry, different portions of the ministry locally. We do pray for our churches and pastors, and as well as the more internal leaders and stuff of the Gideons, but that is something we strive at, to always, whatever we're doing, to pray before we begin doing it. Sometimes it's hard. We get out to do something and, you know, you want to jump right in it. But we do believe that everything should start with going to God in prayer before we attempt anything. Men and women of a separated walk, which comes into being the, again, our testimony that we should be intentional as to how we live our lives and how others see us, and that they should be seeing Christ living in us, of course. Men and women of a compassionate heart, and there's nothing more compassionate than giving the truth to people that are lost in their sins and headed towards hell. And then men and women who witness, which we believe that's all of us as Christians, that we're called to do that. That it's not just missionaries, not just the Gideons. It's all of us. It's just, like I said, so it's not exclusive. And that's why the tools that we have developed, we're not keeping them exclusive to us. We want to share them. We want to help build church members up, even if they don't join us, if that's not their calling, but that we can help build everyone up into fulfilling the Great Commission. And then men and women who give. So we fund a lot of the different efforts that we do. The Faith Fund specifically is to provide scriptures for countries that are very poor and cannot fund themselves. There are a huge, probably like 50% of the population of the world, at least, that, you know, has monthly incomes of only a few dollars, and so they're never going to be able to purchase their own copy of the Word. So the Gideons there too are, you know, in similar circumstances. So that's part of it. And as you heard, a good portion of whatever you give towards the ministry goes to producing and shipping those testaments around the world. And there are faithful men and women in those countries that will be distributing those to their people, but they simply can't afford to pay to produce them. So that's where the U.S. is really coming in and to actually make those funds available. I'm going to leave you with one last testimony.
Hi, my name is Mark Miles. At 5 years old, my mother moved me and my brother and two sisters from Baltimore, Maryland, to Lima, Ohio. She left my dad, and within a two-year period, she remarried my stepdad, who had three kids. By 7 years old, I had been sexually and verbally and physically and emotionally abused, and that does something to a seven-year-old. By 9 years old, I started drinking. And by 11, I started doing drugs. By the time I was 19, my addictions was really bad. Barely graduated high school. Life goes on. My addictions get worse. I'm not even a father to my own son. My brother goes off and gets saved years later, and he comes back to me, and he's talking to me about Jesus. Jesus that I didn't want to hear anything about. I didn't want to hear anything about a God who was supposed to love everybody but allowed me to go through the things that I went through. My brother never gave up on me, though. He just always came and he talked to me and he loved on me. And I knew there was something different about my brother. So I went to one of my sisters and I asked her if she had a Bible. And to my surprise, she had one, but she said, "What are you going to do with it?" And I said, "Just let me borrow it." So I took that Bible home and I started reading it. And it took me 2 years to read that book. But I was reading it for all the wrong reasons. I was reading it to prove to my brother and the rest of these Jesus freaks in the world that there was no God. He didn't exist. They were all brainwashed. And they were following some fairy tale. Well, at the end of that 2 years of reading that Bible, my brother got killed. But a week later, it was April 15th, 2001. It was Easter Sunday. I went looking for a lady that had a similar lifestyle as me and my brother. We had all grew up together. And her husband said, "Well, she's at church." So I asked where the church was. I went there. And before you know it, before I came out of that church, the Lord had saved my soul. I went forward. He had an altar call. And the pastor asked what he could do for me, and I said, "I've tried everything else. I'd like to try Jesus." And he had a smile on his face you couldn't have knocked off with a stick. But we went to our knees, and he prayed for me, and I knew that the Lord had saved my soul, and he's been changing my life ever since. So 2022, my father was dying, and as my sister and I was sitting around his house talking, I asked her, I said, "Do you remember where you got that Bible?" And she said, "Yeah, back in 97, we lost a sister and to breast cancer. And she was struggling really hard. And these two men used to come in and they would pray for her. And they gave her a Bible." And I kept asking her about the guy. And she said, "I think his name was Pete." Well, back home, we know him as Hallelujah Pete. He was a Gideon. I knew that what God did through that one Bible that I read and how he drew me closer to himself and hearing about that's what the Gideons do is go out on the streets and they personally witness to whoever the Lord leads them to, whoever God opens a door. I knew I needed to be part of that. I joined the Gideons April 29th of 2008. And that date is very significant to me because that's my brother's birthday. So with that, I'm very grateful and just glad to be part of the Gideons International.
So, and just like to thank the church here as being a partner with the Gideons. It's not we're your missionaries here locally, and then there's 12,000 camps around the world where you're also supplying missionaries. So the church, as Ed was saying, has taken on the Gideons as a formal missionary and is funding, giving support as a church, but I do thank you for the support you have given as individuals. It's your ministry. Without your prayers, without your giving, and without your membership, there is no ministry. So thank you, and God bless you.